Welcome to the Success in Medicine podcast. I'm Dr. Rajani Katta, author of the best-selling residency match guide, The Successful Match, and creator of the Residency Interview 101 course. This is a special series on the podcast called Energized at Work. We hear so much about burnout in medicine, and it is a real and very challenging problem. That's why I wanted to learn from doctors in all types of specialties who are the opposite of burned out. These are the doctors who are energized by work. I'm looking forward to sharing lessons and secrets from these doctors on this special series. I am really excited to be here today with my longtime friend and colleague, Dr. Stephanie Kotel. Dr. Kotel is a dermatologist who has been a practicing clinician for over 20 years, and she is based in Columbus, Ohio. And one of the reasons I was so excited to invite her on is because we have been longtime friends and colleagues. We speak frequently. And one of the things that Dr. Kotel just continues to have is this great enthusiasm for her practice, the field of dermatology. And when I asked her recently about being on the podcast, she said, oh, you know, I love my job. So I'm really excited to have you on. Welcome, Dr. Kotel.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here, and thank you for that very kind introduction.
Well, Dr. Kotel, I wanted to start by just asking you a little bit about what it is that you do currently.
So I am in a private practice with two other dermatologists and one physician assistant. I see patients of all ages. I do primarily medical dermatology, but some surgical and cosmetic dermatology. And it is a independent physician-owned practice. And I think it's important to say that because I'm part of a practice that probably are becoming more like dinosaurs. More and more practices are owned by private equity. But I personally am really grateful and thankful to be part of a physician-owned practice, of which I actually am an employee.
So I'm really glad you mentioned that, because for our medical students who are considering career options, I think what you said is something that's really critical, not only in dermatology, but we're seeing it in, for example, emergency medicine and other fields. Why do you think that piece about being a physician-owned practice versus a private equity practice is so important?
I think it's important because as a physician-owned practice, we put patients first. It's about taking care of patients. We all feel strongly that it is our duty and our best to help our patients first. And I feel like, although I have never worked for private equity, that becomes more about the business of medicine. And while there are some advantages to private practice, I'm sorry, to a private equity, perhaps you have larger numbers of dermatologists. So you might get insurance benefits in terms of maybe you get insurance companies that pay better, maybe you get discounts on different supplies, but I don't have a business person telling me what to do or how to practice. I have my colleagues that I'm very collegial with. So to me, it's the fact that we're patient first, medical, and while we try to run a good business, it's not a business person telling us how to practice medicine. So I appreciate that.
I think what you're saying is so astute. And there was a very recent article in the New York Times that talked about the rise of private equity in medicine. And what you just said was echoed from personal experience by some of the physicians who had worked in private equity-owned practices, where they do feel that tension between trying to reach a business goal that's set by somebody else, as opposed to trying to reach patient care goals. So I'm glad you mentioned that. And in terms of the patient mix that you see, so it sounds like it's mainly medical dermatology. And then you said some surgical dermatology, some cosmetic dermatology, you see all ages. Is that something that really drew you to the field, having that combination?
It really is. You know, when people ask me why I wanted to go into dermatology, it's really one of the few fields where you can see patients of all ages. And I really think that helps keep the day fun and light, helps keep me younger than I am by being able to see kids, teenagers. And of course, I love my older patients that I've been taking care of for years and years and years. But I also love the breadth and depth of the specialty. And I've been at this long enough that I've kind of honed my practice to the kind of conditions that I like to see. I do work with a dermatologist who's also a Mohs surgeon and does a lot of different cosmetic procedures. So in that sense, I will do what I'm comfortable with, but I'm able to refer to him anything that I don't feel comfortable with or is not in the scope of practice that I'm trained to do, for example, Mohs surgery. So the breadth and depth of dermatology allows me to treat skin cancer. It allows me to do Botox for cosmetics. It allows me to, at least in my early days, I used to read some pathology slides on the biopsies that I would do. So just lots of variety. And because this field has so much variety, you can really shape it into the kind of practice and the kind of medicine that you want to practice within this very large scope of dermatology that includes oncology, pathology, cosmetics, and surgery.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think when some people hear dermatology, or at least this is, you know, the memes or the jokes about it, is that it's all cosmetic dermatology. And I think what you just mentioned is something that's so important that I've heard a lot from other dermatologists about how fulfilling it is to be able to have that variety and those different areas, but also what you just said, which is that you can really shape it to what you want to focus on.
Yes, especially in an independent private practice where I am not micromanaged and I can do whatever I want to do. And one thing that I just want to mention about one of the things I just love about dermatology is the ability to do small procedures. My practice style is kind of a quick, fast-paced. We're a very busy practice and I see about 40 patients a day and it's about 10 minutes per appointment, larger, a little bit longer if I'm doing a surgical procedure. But in general, I love the quick biopsies and quick excisions or quick injections that I can do to help break up the day in addition to just my talking and diagnosing and patient interactions. It really makes the day go by quickly.
I bet. And it's interesting you say that too, because I think if we compare and contrast our two careers within dermatology, where I specialize in contact dermatitis and what I'm doing for on a Thursday where I'm counseling patients is just talking the whole time and my appointments are very long, but I've been able to carve out that space within dermatology. And it really brings home the point that you just said, that you have that option of making it what you want within derm, which is really cool.
It's really unique and great.
Yeah. And so what would you say? So I do want to ask. So one of the things, you know, one of my sayings is that I love my work, but I don't always love my job, because I love the work of patient care, of speaking and counseling and educating patients, but I don't always love some of the other aspects of my job. So can you tell me what in your clinic day you don't necessarily love?
My biggest challenge in my day would be charting, because I have a scribe in my room. And so I do have someone who's taking all the information down for me. So I am luckily able to focus all my energy on the patient. But when I come out of the room, I'm ready to go to the next patient so I can stay on time. And so I find that I have a lot of charting to do during my lunchtime, and either before I leave the office at the end of the day or at home. And I really do like to go over my notes carefully. I like to do everything during my lunchtime from the morning and make sure I'm all caught up before I go on to my afternoon. And I like to finish all my charts at night before I go to work the next day. So I think that just being very careful about my charting and making sure I have everything down the way I want to, and making sure that my notes are accurate, takes a lot of time. And to me, I really value having these detailed notes. I'm also sometimes sending a copy of my notes to referring physicians. So the challenge is just the time it takes to do that. And for me, that's a function of working on an electronic medical record. In the old days, when we just wrote on paper, the notes tended to be much briefer And it was a lot quicker. I could just sign off on a note and be done in the room. So my biggest challenge is that I find it draining to do the charting.
Yeah, I very much hear you. But yet it sounds like you've been able to conquer that somewhat. You are doing some charting at home sometimes, but not all the time. Am I hearing you correctly?
Correct. A really good day is when I finish my charts before I leave the office. But sometimes if you have a couple rough patients that are more complicated, I know right then and there that I really need to go home and spend a little time. Maybe I'm even researching something, or I'm double checking some doses of a medication or something like that. Or I really, for whatever reason, feel that I need to chart more compulsively. Sometimes just a couple patients can take up a significant time charting. And that's just my personality. I don't know that, you know, everybody would be as compulsive as I am, but it's important to me to document everything to the best of my ability. And that takes some time.
Yeah. But it sounds like between the systems that you've developed, that it's not overwhelming you, that you're able to keep up with it.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, as physicians, we're trained, you know, no matter what the workload is, there's always more workload. In medicine, everything has always gotten harder, always gotten more challenging, always gotten more time consuming, always a new learning curve. So I think that you and I had very good training. We just learned to pivot and move and jump and kind of roll with the punches. And also find other ways when we're not working to decompress from what we are doing. And as much as I dislike charting, I also realize that there's things in every job that people dislike. luckily, the bulk of my job I absolutely love. And this is just, you know, what's required for good patient care.
That's the part of it. I am curious, how do you handle patient portal messages? Because one of the things we're seeing in other outpatient specialties and also in dermatology is just the volume of patient portal messages has really been increasing. Do you find that a challenge in your practice, or do you guys have systems in place to handle that?
So luckily, although we're electronic, although we use electronic medical records, the portal is not really a place that we take a lot of messages from. We don't encourage it. That hasn't caught on. So we're a bit old fashioned in that sense. Our messages are primarily phone messages. And I don't find that to be burdensome. And I like to think that one of the reasons I don't get a lot of messages is I give a lot of handouts in the room. I write down everything the patient should be doing. For example, if someone has a rash or dry skin or eczema or something that I treat commonly, I have a handout with some blanks and I fill in the blank and I circle how many times a day. Same thing for acne. I've highlighted the cleanser somebody should use, the moisturizer they should use. What are the instructions for the medication? And so I think that really cuts down on patient calls, because I know that myself, if I go to the doctor, I always bring a pen and paper because I'm so nervous I'm thinking five steps behind them. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they just hit my, you know, touched my foot where it hurt. And now I'm in pain and I miss what they're saying. So I've learned how important it is to kind of write down what a doctor says to me, because I don't think in general, doctors give out a lot of handouts. I know that in dermatology, we write a prescription and there is instructions on the box, but people throw out the boxes and then they have three tubes of different medicine and no one knows what they're doing. So I do find it helpful, and hopefully my patients find it helpful, to have to have handouts with instructions. And I think that cuts down on patient calls. So we do not get many calls through the portal. The calls we do get are through just leaving a message. Our nurses or medical assistants do field most of the calls that are obvious answers to them. Other than that, they will send me the message. I will tell the staff what to do and the staff will answer. So it is rare that I will actually make a phone call unless there's something more serious I need to discuss, or the conversation just requires me as opposed to the nurse. So that actually, I think for the points of this discussion, is a really good mental health saver. The fact that I don't have to spend the time on the phone. I don't call back my biopsies unless it's a melanoma or a more serious rash. So We write for our nurses what to do, and they will take care of most of the phone discussion.
You know, it's really interesting that you bring this up, because one of the things I really admire about the way you practice is that I think for physicians, as they're coming out of practice, there's sort of two parallel learning curves. One learning curve is about all the new technologies and the new pharmaceuticals and the new treatments. But the other learning curve is learning how to be a leader of a team, learning how to communicate more effectively, learning how to practice in an effective yet efficient manner, and then constantly thinking about ways to improve the practice of medicine so that our patients benefit. And what you just said about patient handouts and how you're writing down the names of the products and the medications and you're circling how many times a day, that sounds so, that sounds like a simple thing, but you're right. How much of a difference it makes as a patient. I know, you know, having had a dental procedure recently, like how helpful it was to go back to that handout and be like, wait, how many times, how long was I supposed to put the ice on this?
Thank you for the validation, Dr. Kata.
Way to go, Dr. Kotel. But yeah, those two parallel learning tracks. So how did you, I'm assuming that all of your systems have been put into place over time. Did you find yourself observing other people, or did you just find yourself trying things? Like, how did you get things to run smoothly like that?
You know, if you probably asked me, like, what is one of my most core values, it would be efficiency. Awesome. I think especially in medicine, where we're tasked to see more and more patients per day, just to keep things going. Always, you know, you got to do a little bit more. So I also think it's really important to stay on time. I think patients really value that. So how can I be efficient? How can I not get too behind?
Along those same lines, I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, when you're writing prescriptions and dealing with complex rashes as well, one of the things that they also did not teach us in residency is a lot of the treatments just weren't around in the late 1990s when you and I were in residency training. So how do you learn about these new treatments? I mean, they're so exciting, the landscape of, for example, psoriasis and atopic dermatitis therapies, but that's also challenging. So how do you feel about that learning process?
That is such a good and valuable question. In my office, we see pharmaceutical reps freely. And because of that, I feel like I always know what are the newest medications that are being launched. I feel like I always have samples in the office so I can try them on patients while waiting to see if they'll be covered. I can feel what they feel like myself. Because of the access to pharmaceutical reps, I get invited to speaker programs. And the value of speaker programs is I get to learn about a medication, but I also get to sit at a table with colleagues and talk with members of the community. And we may start to share our own thoughts or questions about the drug that is being presented, but we're also talking about a complicated patient and what would you do? And have you tried this? And so great for collegiality, for building our resources in terms of our camaraderie and friendships and supporting each other. But also great sense of knowledge. So I find going out to dinner, learning about these new drugs, being able to discuss them or other drugs, I learned so much from my colleagues. And frankly, those are who I love to learn from. I also learn a lot by going to conferences. So I generally only attend one in-person conference a year, but I learn so much at those. And I feel like I get caught up on sort of new launches or for the longest time, you know, what biologics were going to come out, what JAK inhibitors were going to come out. So I feel like I've been helping, you know, saturate my learning curve, you know, for a year before the drugs come out, which is really helpful to me.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because when I think about burnout prevention and the opposite of burnout, you know, people like yourself who are still going strong this many years later, and one of the things is that sense of community around this particular area. And I know we have our own, you know, the people that we did residency with, we still discuss challenging issues, challenging conditions together. And we have each developed sort of different areas of expertise that we're able to share from. And I think that's something that's so incredibly valuable and that keeps us going. And I also have a group of local dermatologists that I meet in person with. So I think that is something that that's wonderful, not only in dermatology, but certainly every field has those groups. But that is something to really prioritize: the education, the support, the community, all those pieces of it together are so valuable.
Yes. And if you're lucky enough, as you and I are, to have a great group of colleagues that keep in close touch together, we all bring our sort of different strengths and experiences and are so supportive of each other and easy to share. And boy, does that help fight burnout and help us stay really excited about our field with the strength of our friendship and just the ability to ask questions without feeling embarrassed about some knowledge that we may be missing or seeking.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So Dr. Patel, if you were, if a medical student were to approach you and say, you know, I'm thinking about dermatology, but I'm really not sure, what advice would you have for them about, you know, getting to learn dermatology or just what you have, what you would share to a medical student who is interested in the field?
I think that while I'm not necessarily up on what it takes to get into dermatology now, I would tell you how I did it and how I would recommend it. What I did is I thought I was interested in dermatology, and I was lucky enough to be a medical student where they had an excellent dermatology program that also saw patients on Saturdays at their children's clinic. And I contacted the attending or the resident, I remember at the time, and said, hey, is there any way I could just follow your team around on Saturdays and see the patients you see? And so I just started going on my Saturdays and following the doctors around at this clinic. And that's when I really started to say, wow, I really like dermatology. This is so fun. And this is so interesting. It, you know, didn't cost me a thing. I was lucky enough to be able to go. It only cost me time. So number one, that helped me to meet other potential mentors in the field and get a sense. So I actually knew, you know, what am I getting myself into if I'm interested in that? I also did research. I actually did some basic science research, and that was really helpful, I think, for helping me to get into dermatology. And I think nowadays, apparently, research is really important. And I think you have to do dermatologic research, but I would just say, make sure you've ruled other specialties out and go into dermatology for the right reasons. I do worry that our field is in the sense that many people go into dermatology and perhaps too many go into cosmetics, and then we don't have enough medical dermatologists around. So I think dermatology is just so broad. Make sure that's what you want to do. I think anyone could be happy in dermatology because of the breadth that we've talked about, the nice lifestyle that we're able to do, because mostly, even when we're on call, there aren't too many dermatologic emergencies. But it's such a competitive field to get into. So make sure you put, before you put all your eggs in that basket, that you've done the due diligence, looked at all the different things you can do within dermatology before you make your decision that this is the right field for you, because obviously it's very, very difficult to get into this field these days.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect advice. I love everything you said. And I think it really rings true to what we're seeing today as well. So I think with that, we'll wrap up. And Dr. Kotel, I just really want to thank you on behalf of our listeners for sharing this inside look at what it's like to be a practicing clinician, general dermatologist who practices medical dermatology as well as procedural and cosmetic dermatology. So thank you so much for sharing your insights and your experience.
It was such a pleasure, Dr. Kata. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Good luck to all your listeners.